Morning, everybody.
So once again, I got a big voice. I'm going to try and keep this down so I don't yell at you. Is that better? A little higher? A little more? I got a thumbs up and a turn it up. I'm going with her. I think she's in charge. Is that better? They get us there. Okay. Well, it's kind of funny, the things that Matt talked about this morning, because I got taken out of my element for this sermon. God didn't change it this time. He just didn't give it to me until about 3:30 yesterday, as getting ready to leave work, and got to thinking about all the things that were going on, and so he just gave it to me. And in the middle of all the things going on, sometimes it's hard to just stop. And that's why I titled this sermon, Sit Down. So I want to start with a question out the gate, though. If you have not had a single struggle this week, if you've not had a single storm to go through, a single woe, a single bill late, a single tire flat, or any of those things you can imagine, if you've not had a single thing go on crazy this week, just go ahead and throw your hand up with me. Only reason my hand's up is because I've been ignoring it all week long. So it's fair to say that right now, I talked about harvest when I came in. There's a lot of stuff going on. We talk about seasons of change. And to me, it brings me back to my relationship with the Father and the Son. And that'll make sense here in a little bit. But it's the storms we go through. A lot of times we don't see that they're coming in until they're here. And then we're screaming at God. Sometimes we forget God's been there the whole time. So this was actually, like I said, this was inspired from my work. Brother Matt and I, we've shared a few communications. I remember a couple weeks ago, this young man was deep down in a hole, down in the side of a mountain in the hills, doing some stuff, out of phone service. I was 20-some-odd foot below ground in an underground audio-visual thing for Kenyon College that I've been tied into 7 days a week, working what we call long half days. Anybody know what a half a day of work is? Not 4 hours. Half a day is that 12-hour day. That's the true half day. Been pulling a lot of those here recently. And so I find it a struggle to stop in the middle of the storm and just sit down. So that's what we're going to cover today. The Lord has made it real simple on me. We've got one set of verses we're going to look at. It's going to be Matthew 8, 23 through 27. If you want to turn there, there is going to be a bonus verse. If we get to it, that'll be verse number 32, but we'll see how it goes. Before we start, I'm going to pray us in. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for every morning. Every morning that the sun rises on us, Lord, because we know that He has risen. And so that's a reminder for us as we go through the storms of the day, Lord, that the death, the burial, the resurrection have all come to pass, and you have won. So we praise you for that. We praise you for the offering of your Son and the grace and the forgiveness that we have received from that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Matthew 8, 23 through 27. Just to make sure I didn't read too fast. I haven't even turned there yet. This is another one of the documentations of some of the Jesus experiences that went during his approximate 3 years that he was preparing the apostles and setting the foundations for the Christian faith here on earth. So if we go to Matthew 8, not Matthew 23, we find ourselves Jesus calming the storm is actually the subtitle. So I'll start in 23. It says, "Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.' He replied, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed, and they asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. At first glance, you'd look at this and say, this is just a simple little miracle Jesus did. And that's kind of the answer I gave God when I said, okay, you want me to wrap a sermon around them four? Long-winded as I am, and I like to travel and surf and see how things tie together, you're going to put me in a box. Absolutely is. So what we see in these five verses, I want to set the plot. Kind of like earlier when I told you about what was going on for my inspiration, I want to set the plot for these guys. We have our apostles who have picked up, left their family to follow what they believe is the Son of the living God, their Messiah, their Savior, their salvation, their way through all the things that the prophecies have forecast that was going to come about. And he is asleep on a bench in a boat. So for some odd reason, our 12 apostles feel that just because the almighty, most powerful, living God created everything, command of nature because he invented it, is somehow weak and at a bad disposition because he's asleep and it's merely storming. So the guy who created water, created storms and all these things, is now in peril laying on a boat because the water's going to come in and it's going to flood and Jesus is going to die. And they're all going to die. So this is one of the first times we see our faith, I'm going to say we a lot because I'm going to associate myself and us with the apostles today. This is one of the first sights that we see in this parable that their faith is questioned, or how they perceive Jesus Christ. What is he? You know, if I see something as insignificant, I treat it as insignificant. And if I say, you are the almighty, all-living, powerful God, and there's nothing that can harm you, and you're the Messiah, why do I think that just because he is resting on a bench in a boat, that all of a sudden I am any less safe, any less in the presence of the almighty Son of the living God than I was when he was standing up giving me his personal attention? So I see this coming out the gate, and I said, okay, so these guys are being tested on many different levels, and there's a whole lot of lessons to learn. I miss a lot because I don't slow down. I don't sit down enough to gather in what's going on in my daily life. And so, at the same point, are they doubting Jesus' authority? You're in the boat with the Son of the living God, and there's some waves around. Are you questioning his authority to be in command and control? We believed he created it, but he can't control it. So that's where our thought patterns will tend to confuse us, and Satan and the ways of the world will use those exact things to get us to circular think ourselves into a place where we are weak, we're not worthy of God, God is over there, we are over here. We're in the storm, he's the calm spot, we just try to get to the calm spot, and it kind of is what it is. That's not God's plan. That's not how this relationship is supposed to work. So no, Jesus is not vulnerable because he's laying down sleeping in a bench on a boat. So then there was the other side of me. It says, okay, do they just not grasp the infinite power and authority that the Son of God possesses? If they was in utter belief, confirmed that this is my guy, those doubts or fears of the storm wouldn't be present. So they get I won't say a slap in the face, but that's the first opportunity for a wake-up call to say, you realize the all-powerful. So I think this is kind of their wake-up for the magnitude of how big and how great the God that we serve is. So I'm going to carry it on a little further. So here comes another lesson. We see Jesus instantly jump up and he questions them. He questions their faith directly. They have his attention now. They woke him up for a sleep in a place where there was really no issue to be concerned about, to question his faith and his authority and who he was and the danger of the storms and all those things coming in. And you notice that he didn't address the storm first. Just want to put that out there. We're the utmost priority. We're the lost lambs. We're the ones that he was sent to save. So when something needed addressed, when the table needed flipped, he addressed the money changers and he flipped the table. And in this juncture, their attention needed to be gotten. And so the first thing he did was grab their attention and said, "Hey, you have little faith." Okay? And so, woohoo. At the end of the day, questions of faith. Jesus jumps up. "What are you doing?" Rebukes the storm. Fancy phrase, for he told it to stop. I could give you a long speech about rebuking and all that, but at the end of the day, you ever do something wrong and mom or dad give you a stern looking at and say, "Stop." Nobody? Just this guy. Okay. I've gotten it maybe twice in my life. I got a firm stop. And at that point, there was the expectation that everything else around me needed to become peripheral. And I needed to focus on the one command. I needed to focus on the one thing at that point in time. Sometimes Jesus has to do that for us. For some of us, he has to do it often. He has to return that focus, has to pull us in and say, "No, I am the all-powerful. I am with the Father, the creator of the earth and the sun and the stars." And so a storm, okay, here we go. So I wanted to say the disciples' lesson stopped there. I said, "Okay, Lord, there's 10 minutes of my sermon. What next?" He said, no, we're going to cruise on. There was apparently some more lessons there that these disciples had to learn, and I don't know that they got them all, but it was put down so that we could get them all. And so I want to make sure that I cover the things that he gave me. They were in amazement. If you read back in the scripture, they were in amazement that he commanded the elements. And when Jesus exampled something totally different. The apostles are in amazement at the magic show. I'm going to call it what it is, the magic show. They're freaked out. Waves are blowing in. The boat's sinking. They got spoons throwing water off the side going, "Jesus, you got to get up. We're going to sink. We're going to die." So to further that, Jesus gets up. There's nothing in there that shows him in a state of excitement. He gets up. He addresses them directly, questions their faith, calmly moves on the storm, goes on. The lesson there is that Jesus didn't give the storm any credit. Even after he had addressed the issue with our or their personal faith, he just told the storm to go. It wasn't, "Oh my, this is a big storm. It's going to take two or more of us to pray together on this to make this go away." No. No. There was a confidence. There was a nonsense of urgency because he did create it. He is the master of it. He is the founder of the winds and the sun and the stars and all those things that the Father just voiced into existence. The guy in command of all that is standing right there. And he gave it no due diligence, no special attention. But he did take the time to address them. When the storms have to wait their turn, kind of puts that in a little different perspective. It's hard to do. It's hard to sort the storms that need your attention first and the storms that you can go, "Eh." At the end of the day, every one of them needs to be laid at the cross. So then we see this amazing thing happens. Jesus jumps up, does your thing, waves off the storm, rebuking, and it was done. And I say that because Jesus didn't do any stretching. He didn't do any warm-ups. He didn't pull up Harry Potter wands. There was no pre-workout drinks. There was no protein pop. None of that. Check your faith. Wave off the distraction. Move on. He productively and efficiently did so many things at once. He made the path straight in the middle of the sea. He calmed the winds. He got their attention. He brought their focus back on him because their focus was on all of the peripheral things that were going on around rather than the source of the calm. And that's why sitting down sometimes can be some of the hardest things to do. Now, Jesus not only exampled his power, but he also exampled the confidence that we're supposed to have as we pass through our daily storms. We're supposed to imitate Christ, correct? We're supposed to imitate him in action, in words, in deed, most importantly, loving one another, as he loved us. We're supposed to example, to replicate, and to do all those things. They say mimicry or to imitate is the purest form of flattery, because I can't say the other word properly. So for us, the ultimate form of flattery for us as children, as disciples of Christ, is to imitate, to replicate all the things. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to multiply, rule over the world. Not rule in sin, but rule in the godly plan that was put there. And so for us to recognize the power that we have in Jesus Christ, can say, okay, storm, you know what? Storm may be there, but it doesn't matter. It has no consequence to God and on who God is and who God is to me. And God is my source of my safety, my security, and my comfort. Now, I say all these things because it's supposed to be simple, so I'm going to go in, I'm going to throw in the bonus verse of the day. The bonus verse of the day is, if you read on also in Matthew chapter 8, you get on up, and it's a real simple one as well. Verse number 32. This is where they're talking about the healing of the two demon-possessed men. Jesus ultimately drives the demons out of the men into the pigs, and they go. But the part that matters for us, verse 32. He said to them, go. So they came out, went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Kind of reminds me of what just happened on the water. Jesus rebuked the storms. He said, go. Very next example, we say, go. And it's gone. So, I've heard that go word another place in the Bible. And it talks about going out to all the nations. So, if Jesus is looking at these things and saying, go, and it's done, and I know that God is telling me to go, I need to make sure it's done. So where's the balance? How do I stay on the go for Jesus Christ? How do I stay on the go for the glory and the kingdom of God? And sit down. The sit down's the metaphor. That's that time where you need to stop and set back, and no matter what's going on, you have to sit down. A person once told me once, a businessman was looking at investing in our company. He said, I'd love to invest in your company. This was many years ago. He says, but you haven't figured out that until you can sit down, you're not going to get further ahead. And I didn't know what that meant at the time. It was because we were running. We were so eager to run forward that we were almost tripping over our own feet to push forward. And we was not taking the time to set ourselves up for the win, to prepare for the next steps ahead. We were just trying to bowl through the china shop and run through. And he knew that if at some point we were going to crash. You can't carry that on for very long without hitting a wall or stumbling. And so I start to get a little bit of the I need to sit down. And so I've seen that in us. And so when I hear Matt talking about, I will never leave you, I will not, I will not, I will not. That makes me go, okay, Lord, maybe you got it a little together more than I thought that you did. But I do want to give some thoughts, because as small as four verses is, it's really a big bite. And I want to encourage all of us to take the chunks. What we think is small has so much more setting inside there for us for our daily, because on another day I would have walked through those four little scriptures and verse and I would not have seen. But I had to take the time, I had to stop, I had to sit down, even if just to open the book and spend a few minutes in the Word. So I want to share some thoughts that I got as I was going through this. I want you to know that your God is the same all-powerful God, even when we think He's sleeping right beside the storms that we're in. Same God, day in, day out. I want you to know that living and believing by sight alone limits us to the world's boundaries. Okay? Another lesson that the apostles, that we can learn from the apostles in that scenario, they didn't believe it till they saw it. I didn't throw that in earlier, but I think it's appropriate now. Storm gets up, all those things, they're in freak out mode. Even as he's yelling at them, questioning their faith, I could almost see them standing there going, waves are coming in, could we speed up this speech a little bit? Okay? So I look at those things and go, okay, living by sight alone Do we have to see it to believe it? Do we know that God's at work in our heart, or do we have to get an x-ray to see that the love of Jesus Christ is in him? So be careful of those things. Living by sight will also cause you to run by sight. You're going to see things, and you're going to get busy, and what should be peripheral is all of a sudden going to become a storm, and it's going to spin all around you, and your sight is going to put you in a dark spot. Okay, that's not what God has planned for you. When those things start to pop off, if nothing else, that's when you just stop and say, go. Lord, I need you. I need you here. I need your presence. I need all these other things to go. And even if it's 10 seconds on an elevator ride, if you take the time to just poke that little wall that Satan wants to put up there for you, you'll find that it'll be easier to say, you know what, no, even if it's for a second, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to clear this. I'm going to refocus my position of where I'm at today, right at the foot of the cross. I'm going to bring myself constantly back there, because it is not a get up and pray in the morning and you're good for the day sort of thing. Pray the day in. Absolutely pray every day in. Pray it out. Pray your way through the day. You want to sit down, pray your way through the day a little bit, thanking for you should have stubbed your toe just now and you did not. Thank you, Jesus. Just let him know. Talk to him and take that time. That's one of the ways that we can sit down. But also living and believing by faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection assures us that we serve a God who can simply say, go, and it must go. If I want to give a reference, we know the story of the centurion. I find it funny, or a quinky dink, that the 12 apostles who are literally cruising with Jesus question his authority until he physically has to show the storm calming. But in another section of the Bible, we see the centurion walk up with zero doubt and says, because I know that if you say they will go, they must go. And so he had an understanding or a relationship to the authority that Jesus had. And I'm going to say that he must have also had respect for that authority by the way he addressed Jesus. But at the end of the day, he came right in and, Son of living God, he gave him that. I know that if you say it, it'll be done. And that was pretty much it. And he let it be. There was no pleading. There was no running over and waking up Jesus. I know you say it'll go, and it'll go. So I need to remind us that we have that same ability to say, Jesus, I need to pause. I need to sit down in the middle of the storms. Once again, just in case anybody messed up, anybody not have any issues this week? Just want to confirm. Okay. I want you to know that we're going to want to run through the storms that we face. We're going to want to run around them. We're going to run beside them, away from them, anything but through them, because we see them as a source of danger. Stop focusing on the storm. Start focusing on your Savior. Storms are going to be there. Never seen an example where Jesus was scared of a storm to go through. That pretty much sealed it in, that there was no boundary too far to enable us to be able to come to God, to be cleansed. So stop. Sit down in the boat. Curl up next to Jesus. Okay? Let the storm do what it may. I know the storms are going to come and go, but it's the closeness and the relationship with Jesus Christ that gives us the peace to sit down and to weather those storms. You're not going to get that calm from the world. So this is the encouragement that the Lord gives us every day, to know that he is present. We know that he is with us. We just have to invite him. It's that simple. We invite him into our hearts. We invite him into our Savior. Sometimes we need to invite him into our day again and again and again so that we can have that sit-down opportunity. Now, as I looked around the room, I know that every single one of us have actually had many storms that we've been through, many storms that we're going through, and many that we are going to go through. So I'm going to give you one closing thought. Jesus Christ always has room for one more to sit with him in the boat, no matter the weather. Jesus Christ loves you. It's his desire to live with you and to see you be cleansed to spend eternity with the Father in heaven. That was his purpose for dying on the cross. And so as I tried to offer you some subtle yet quiet and peaceful encouragement this morning, I just want you to know that, A, you're not alone. Guarantee you we're all on a boat of some sorts. Jesus Christ is laying right there. And if I was a guessing man, I'd imagine if he was laying there asleep, it's because we're not taking the time to talk and interact with him. Okay? That was the separation there. That was them not... I would have just ran up and curled up next to him. I believe you're the man. I'm going to curl up. I'm going to get right in that blanket and say, Jesus, move over. Okay? I would encourage you guys to try and do that this week. Let the world do what it may. It's not going to stop. We can't stop that. You can't stop that. Okay? That's an end times thing that is out of our control and above our head. But what we can control, we can control our day-to-day relationships. We can control not giving up our peace. And so before we go today, I'm going to have the praise team get up and come join us for one closing song. If you have something that you want to pray with, about, or for, please come up. See me. If you don't want to come up, raise your hand. We'll come to you. If you want to come up and pray for me or pray for my wife as she sees me through a surgery and all the other things that I have coming up again, come up. I'll pray with you. Doesn't matter what it is. The point is that...